Before I begin preaching the word of God, let's bow in prayer. Father, as we enter into a new season and we begin with this wonderful passage of Scripture, Father, I ask that you soften our hearts. I ask that you soften our hearts to hear your words. I ask that you help us to remember what happened on that Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From the book of Luke, the 24th chapter, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember, he has told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because it seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Well, when we left off Friday, Jesus hung on the cross. He was suspended between heaven and earth. Luke wrote that darkness covered the earth and the sun stopped shining. Luke had been writing a lot about darkness in these chapters. And when Judas betrayed Jesus at night, Jesus said, "This is your hour when darkness reigns." Jesus breathed his last and committed his spirit into the hands of the Father, and his body was placed in the tomb in haste. And the burial was left unfinished because the sun was going down. Jesus' body was in the dark tomb all Saturday. Then, chapter 24, Luke writes, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb." It was very early in the morning. Other gospel writers record that it's even still dark. The woman set off to this gruesome task. Would have had Friday night and all of Saturday to kind of think about this. Suppose it would have weighed on them, would have weighed heavily on them. You know, they probably said things like, "You know, Sunday we should really get going early to get this over with." It was a horrible job. It would have a lot to think about. What condition would the body have been in? The blood would have been dried hard and Jesus' hair would have been matted. This would have been absolutely no easy task. So it's reasonable to think that they would have kind of dwelled on this for the past couple days. Maybe they didn't even sleep well considering all they had to do. So they set out for that graveyard first thing in the morning, early, to add spice. Because that was the custom, to keep the body from stinking. And so they arrive. And then when they arrive, they find the tomb, the stone rolled away from the tomb in verse 2. And then they entered, they don't find the body of the Lord Jesus. The extremely heavy stone was rolled away from the tomb. It was no longer blocking the entrance. It was strange. The body, of course, was not there. This is, well, shocking to them. I mean, have you ever had anything stolen? I remember when my first day in college at the University of Iowa, I had a nice bike and it was locked up, and I came out to go have breakfast with my parents. And I looked and my bike wasn't there. The lock was broken and laying on the ground, but my bike wasn't there. And it took a while to process. See, you're in this state of disbelief. You're in this state of bewilderment. It's like you know what happened, but your brain hasn't fully put together the pieces. It causes this bewilderment. It's shocking. And Luke says they wondered about this. Or the Greek says perplexed, at a loss. There they are, arms full of heavy spices, possibly 100 pounds or more, heading out before dawn with this awful job. And they arrive at the tomb, and the stone's rolled away, and the body is gone. So their mouths are probably hanging open as they're perplexed. And then verse 4, Luke writes, when they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And suddenly two men are there, and their clothes are gleaming like lightning. You know, we had that storm the other day. It rolled through. I was at home, and lightning struck really, really close to our house. We have these heavy curtains, and they're partially drawn, but still, that lightning lit up the room. It wasn't like daylight, which is yellow. It's this white light. You know, it's just like really bright. This room was white for this instant. So Luke says their clothes gleamed like lightning. This flashing lightning phrase is also interestingly used in Luke around chapter 17, verse 24. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. So here in this early morning dark tomb, there's these two men whose clothes flash white like lightning. They're forerunners to the Lord. The darkness of this tomb is suddenly overpowered by this white lightning. And it's this appearance of these messengers. And Luke tells us later that these men are angels. But in their fright, in Luke 24:5, the women bow down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? The women, naturally frightened by this apparition in the tomb, bow down. And the men are like, why? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? These women have every reason to look here for Jesus. Jesus was dead. They watched him die. They saw with their eyes the spear go into his side. No one survives a Roman crucifixion. They left early with spices to go to the graveyard where the dead are. Every indication of this world is that Jesus should be where the dead are. But there, in that darkness and in the middle of that death, the light flashes. The light flashes. And the question is, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Luke 24:6, he's not here. He is not here. He is risen. Remember? Remember how he told you? He told you while he was still with you in Galilee. He's not here. He can't be here. Here's where the dead people are. Jesus is not here. Jesus is risen. Remember? He must be risen because he said so. God does not lie. God's promises are always true. When God says something, it happens. When God says, let there be light, there is light. And Jesus made it clear in Galilee that something was going to happen. Remember? And then the next passage after that verse where Jesus flashes like lightning in Luke 17, it says, for the Son of Man in his day will be like lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And Jesus also clearly told this to the disciples in Matthew as well, in Matthew 17, 22 and 23. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. Notice how this verse ends. The disciples were filled with grief. They somehow didn't believe what was going to happen. The women are still somehow looking for the living among the dead. Perhaps, just perhaps, they thought Jesus was speaking a little more metaphorically. Maybe they're thinking he will be raised to eternal life, raised into heaven perhaps. Perhaps we will carry on his memory in our hearts type of thing. But now they see he is not speaking metaphorically. He was not talking about a memory living on. He was talking about getting up from the dead. He was talking about his body and all rising from the dead, a real bodily resurrection. In Luke 24, the angels remind the women of when Jesus said that. Luke 24, 7 and 8. "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. Then it sank in. Then they remembered. They just had to hear that word of God again. Sometimes it takes us multiple times of hearing the word of God. We have to hear it again and again. We have to see the word of God manifest in our lives before it really takes effect. So they hear it again. And then combined with seeing the rolled away tomb and the empty tomb, and then it starts to click. So then in Luke 24, 9 through 11, when they come back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the others who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. They didn't believe the women because it seemed to them like, well, in the Greek, it's idle talk. Idle talk is talk that does nothing. Talk that has no effect. No work. It doesn't do anything. Even though they had the word of God, like the women, but because they didn't see the empty tomb, because instead what they saw was the crucifixion. What they saw was when the authorities had the power over God. What they saw was the powers of darkness reign. What they saw was the trial and the beatings and the nails. What they saw was the reality of this death and the spear enter Jesus' side. Then they saw Jesus' lifeless body being carried and placed into a tomb. They saw death have a victory, so that word of God was forgotten. So now, when the women give their testimony to them, with that in their minds, it seems like nonsense. These words aren't having any place in reality. It seems like it cannot change that reality that they saw. Reality for them is that Jesus was a good guy and will always have this memory to carry on in our hearts. So let's now go do what he said. Resurrection talk has no effect on the reality of their everyday life situation that they're in. But, oh, how they are wrong. Oh, how they are wrong. And this is the question for all of us today. Is this account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is this account, now I'm talking for you sitting in the pew today, is it idle talk or does it produce something? Is your life different because of this account? Because there's only one of two things. Either this is the greatest event in all of human history, or it's idle talk. And it doesn't have any effect on you. 46% of Christians in the United Kingdom do not believe in the resurrection. 46% of Christians don't believe in the resurrection. It's almost half. Picture a church this size, almost half. It's idle talk. Does the resurrection have any effect on your life? It's easy to believe in the crucifixion, right? It's plausible. There were hundreds of crucifixions. It's a historical fact. You can go and dig up the crucifixions. It's possible. It's completely possible that a Jewish rabbi was crucified. A lot of Christians are really okay with this. They even like that idea. Because then it's a place you can go and dump your sin and your guilt. You can pray to a dead Jesus and feel better about yourself. It's similar to people who maybe write a letter to a loved one who's passed on. It's cathartic. It gets things off their chest. People do something bad in the dark, really bad, where no one knows, and they have to get it off their chest. So they sneak into a cold, dark stone cathedral. And they tell a man behind a curtain what they did, and they light a candle in the dark. And I will tell this Jesus what I did, and I will feel better. Why do you look for the living among the dead? People think this crucifixion thing is okay. I'm on board with that. Then they think the resurrection, and they think about maybe it means his spirit, right? Like we're never truly gone as long as the memory lives on inside of us all. Jesus is in us. His memory lives on in us. Let's come to church and make Jesus' memory live on by doing what Jesus did. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Christianity, maybe, is just one of many paths to God. Jesus is like Buddha or Muhammad. We just need to love one another and be sincere. That is important, right? Whether we worship Muhammad or Buddha or Jesus, there's no difference. They basically say the same thing. We just need to be sincere. Why do you look for the living among the dead? It's not what we're talking about when we talk about the resurrection. That's not Christianity. We do not worship a dead man. He is not here. He is risen. We worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ who rose from the dead bodily. The grave could not hold him. Death would have no victory. He was dead and he's now alive. He is not here. Do not look for the living among the dead. This is earth-shattering news. Never before on the planet Earth has a dead man got up of his own accord. He alone laid down his life. He alone took it up again. The evidence is there. There's hundreds of ancient manuscripts. Some as early as 25 years after the event. The resurrection is recorded in Luke. It's recorded again separately in Matthew. It's recorded again separately in Mark. And it's recorded again in John. The events then are referred to in one way or the other in all of the New Testament. Separate sources outside of the Bible refer to Jesus. And while people think it's idle talk, a body has never been found. Experts agree this isn't even enough time for myths and legends to get started. Many eyewitnesses were alive to refute them, and there are virtually no manuscripts refuting the resurrection. The disciples were tortured, killed, and imprisoned, and all they had to do was recant. And none of them ever did. Listen to this quote from a guy named Chuck Colson, who was arrested during the Watergate conspiracy. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Friends, I'm asking you today to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And when you do, it changes everything. Nothing is the same. Nothing can be or should be the same. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, it changes everything. And it wasn't just back then. And it's not something metaphorically, but it changes reality for you and for me right now. For instance, yesterday, when I asked you to give your sins to Jesus, to ask him remove your sins and your guilt and your pain and your brokenness, I wasn't asking you to write a letter to a dead guy. I'm not asking you to light a candle in the dark and hope for the best and go out and try harder. Do you know how you know that this happened? You know how your sins have been removed? Do you know how they've been taken away? You know that because God the Father accepts Jesus' work on the cross because Jesus rose from the dead. And as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus has not been raised, then you are still dead in your sins. But if he is raised, if he is not here, if he is risen, if Christ is raised, then it is God the Father's amen to the sacrifice of God the Son. If Christ has been raised, then it is your hallelujah, because you know your sins have been carried away. If Christ has been raised, you have been set free. You're not sending a letter to a dead man. You are set free, and you are in Christ. If Christ has been raised, we're not being asked to try harder to imitate a dead man, but we're given the same power. The same power that has raised Christ from the dead. That same power to be set free from the sin in our lives, enabling us to live like never before. Brothers and sisters, if Christ has been raised, you have been set free. If Christ has been raised, death no longer has power over you. If Christ has been raised, you're no longer slaves to sin, but instead are slaves to righteousness. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Romans 8:2 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life sets you free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit who gives life, not the Spirit of death. The Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Jesus, by rising from the dead, has shown to the world, no, he's shown to the universe, that he is the victor. He is the conqueror. He has all the authority. And he did it for you. For you. So that you no longer have to submit to that authority of the enemy, that authority of death, the authority that sin has over your life. But instead, you are in Christ Jesus. Do you see this? This changes everything. There's a danger, though. Even when we believed it, we have problems remembering. Women had problems remembering. The danger is that when the world shows us defeat, we forget that Jesus won the victory. When the world's authorities start to close in on us and we seem to be trapped, we have to remember that Jesus won the victory. When the pain of sin in the world presses in on us, when we've been betrayed, we must remember that Jesus won the victory. When we're tempted and pulled towards sin, when darkness is reigning and closing in, we must remember that Jesus rose from the dead. Your guilt, your shame, your pain, your brokenness has been taken away at the resurrection. God the Father has said to you, yes, it has been taken away. You can now live free. Do not look for the living among the dead any longer. Look to Christ. He's carried it away, and he was successful. Now let us live like it. From Romans 8:37, no. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.